Today on the podcast, I'm very excited to have someone that I met through an online class and through social media. I mean, it's amazing the surprises that those things can bring to you, honestly. Tracy Baldwin is a wife, a mother of three, a career woman, and most recently, a published author. Her book, Life Disrupted, Finding Your Way Forward When the World is Upside Down, is available now in print and Kindle versions and offers support for those suffering from burnout, anxiety, and or depression to help you let go of fear and shame and to continue your journey more resilient, present, authentic, hopeful, and content. I was honored to read it before it was officially published, and I highly recommend it to everyone. Tracy's here with me today to talk about the book itself and what led to her needing to write it for herself and for you. So let's go. Hey friend, welcome to your safe place to begin redesigning midlife. Do you know deep inside that it is time to start focusing on your health and wellness, but have no idea where to start? Do you wake up every morning saying, I'm starting today, and end it with, I'll start again tomorrow? I'm Leslie, and when I turned 50, I felt the same and longed for some sense of self-control and new confidence in who I was becoming in midlife. I finally realized that the change I needed was up to me. In this podcast, you are going to find everything you need to build your healthiest midlife today, to live happier and longer tomorrow. So embrace being a beginner again, open your heart to change, and let's get to redesigning. Hey, Tracy, welcome to the podcast. I'm very excited to have you with me here today to talk about what I know was a real labor of love and a labor of necessity for you. Let's talk about the book. First of all, how are you today?
I'm great. Thank you so much, Leslie, for having me. I'm so excited to be on your podcast. I'm a big fan. And
Oh, you're so sweet.
And I am redesigning my own midlife. So I'm excited to be on and talk to you today and, hopefully help out your audience.
Yes. And I know your book is going to speak to a lot of people. So I want to start with the introduction of your book because okay. It starts with a question. You say, where do you go when you're stuck in a dark place and you've given up on yourself? How do you gather the strength to carry on and get to a better place? Let's start at the beginning. And let's talk about the place where this book comes from.
Sure. Let's start with a heavy hitter.
Right out of the gate.
The first line of the book. It is pretty hard hitting. It came from my experience during the pandemic. And I think a lot of moms, and maybe even moms who also were employed outside of the home, felt that during the pandemic. And I certainly did. And before the pandemic, I had suffered from anxiety and depression, but I had it in check for sure. Mm-hmm. And worked really hard to keep it in check through lots of different things. But during the pandemic, its own special time when there was a lot of unknown, especially, in the middle of it around January, I live in Chicago. It was cold. It was dark. I was trapped in my house with my three kids who were doing remote learning, which each of them had their own struggles. There was so much unknown. I was working from home and just going from Zoom call to Zoom call. I didn't really have any breaks. I'm an extrovert. I get energy from people, and I hadn't seen anyone except my family. And so all of these things were it was like the walls were closing in on me, and I felt very much like a trapped animal. And something came about where it kind of pushed me over the edge, and I was in that dark place. And I guess I knew I needed help after I was in that dark place. And I didn't really know what what to do. Like, how do I get out of here? I didn't know. Like, I am very much a problem solver and pull myself up by my bootstraps, but I was at a loss. I was at a loss.
There's nothing worse than being a person who feels like they're in control of themselves all the time, and then you have absolutely no control and can't figure the situation out.
Yeah. And I think, in my book, I talk a lot about the mind-body connection. And I, at that point, did not have a very good one. I was always, my mind was always ruling my body. And I was always like, I can do this. I can do this. I can do this. I'll figure out a way and I'll just get it done. And I think that's just how I was raised. And that's, I think I say it's a very American thing too. Like, you just do it, you just plow through. And I think my body finally was just said, no, enough. We're not doing this anymore. You can't just plow through. You're going to listen to me and we're done. We're not going to move through anymore. And we're just going to stop. And you better listen to us or listen to yourself, because we're not doing it anymore. You can't, you don't have the energy. You don't like, just stop, just stop and reassess, because you're gonna get sick and die if you don't, like just stop, enough. And so I was at a loss. I mean, like, I was like weepy and almost kind of despondent, like it was in a fog, and I'm a mom and a wife, and I can't just, drop out of the world. So I had to ask and get help, ask for and get help, to get out of that.
So you also mentioned, well, what you're saying, listening to your head and your mind instead of your body. I mean, that is something that I think a lot of women do. And you mentioned also in the in the introduction that as you were nearing 50, you were ignoring a lot of things. Why do you think women do that? Why do you feel like they are going to fail if they don't continue to just move forward instead of stopping?
I think it's because we're the fixers, right? It's just the way we do it, especially I would say like the type A personality, the person who's always been a high performer. In high school, I was, the straight A student, involved in all the clubs, and college, went to a good college, did all the internships, got a job out of college. Like, I was always like following the rules. I was a rule follower, I guess. And so I just did what I always was supposed to do. And I think women suffer from people pleasing. We please everyone
Oh,
else but
absolutely.
ourselves,
Oh,
right?
yeah,
And so there's a
absolutely.
lot of that in midlife where you're like, you wake up suddenly, you're like, I'm done with this, and so I honestly think it's the way women are raised. We're told in a lot of ways, if you follow the rules, you will be rewarded with a wonderful, happy life. But the problem is, when you get to life and you're trying to work and raise your family and do all the things you don't have a ton of support, from our society, from childcare to, affordable childcare to, maybe other working moms, because no one has time for each other, or even other moms. Everyone's too busy with their own lives, and their own families, and just try, it's like, it's almost like busyness is a badge of honor. And you just need to, you put it out there, I'm doing it all, and the reality is, I think everyone's struggling with it. And I feel like what should be rewarded more is people pausing and not doing it all and maybe helping each other. But we're such an individualistic society too. I think it's just like, it's a sign of weakness if you ask for help. And so, yeah, so I just think it's part of our DNA. And the truth of the matter is, and I say in my book, it's the myth of the Lone Ranger. It's a lie. It's like, people need people. No man is an island or woman, and we all really do need each other. And so I think it's, by the time you get to midlife, you're just tired. I mean, you've been doing it 50 years, and I think a lot of people, a lot of women have breakdowns or burnout, or just kind of say, what is this all for? What am I doing? You kind of see, like, I'm getting towards the end of my life. Like, is this it? 'Cause I can't keep going. You kind of just get tired. And so I think in writing this book, I wanted to share my journey, but I also want to maybe give hope to people who are where I'm at right now, but also to the younger generations to say, hey, there is a different way. And don't subscribe to this myth, you know, like get help, take breaks, you know, be present, say no sometimes. You don't have to do it all. It's okay, you know. It's okay, and it's okay to not be perfect. I think, you know, I'm a recovering perfectionist is what I say, and I'm perfectly imperfect.
I think there are a lot of us that fall into that lane. But I was going to ask you, because a lot of times we push, we push, we push until we're at the edge and we don't practice being self-aware. And it may be because we're just ignoring what's going on, or maybe we just don't know how to be self-aware. What are some ways that we can start taking kind of inventory so that we know we need to stop?
That's a great question. I think, you know, in the book, I say, look inward, look outward, and then look upward. And I think that how do you know is the looking inward. And I think we don't do that a lot. And I know for me, I was too busy to look inward. I didn't have time to look inward, you know, and I would say that. I'm too tired, or I have all these things to do. And so I think really what
I think
it is,
some people are afraid to look inward
oh,
too.
110%, because you're what you find is like, what do I do with what's there? I mean, that's our society right there. But yes, I challenge myself, and I would say other people maybe listening, to stop and maybe journal like your feelings. You know, a lot of people are talking about meditation. You know, try sitting still, go for a walk, or just sit still, you know, on your bed or on the floor, and just be quiet, and see what comes into your mind and just feel. And I talk a lot about that in my book too. And yoga has it has played a big role, I would say, in my rebuilding of my life and being more resilient. Because one of the main things they say in yoga is just feel, just notice, you don't, or just be. And that is so counterintuitive, I think, to our, it's like, what do you mean? And it's really difficult, I think, to sit still and not do anything, because your mind starts racing, the monkey mind. And but just like feel, like, where does it hurt in your body? Do you feel anything? Literally, does your, you know, does your forehead itch? Does your back hurt? You know, just to start to listen and get in tune with what's going on in your body. And you might not even know, have noticed it until you take that time to stop and pause and just breathe. And notice. It's so simple, like just notice. So that's like the easiest thing that anyone could do is just like pause, stop, notice. What do you feel? And try to name that. I mean, that is, it's so simple, but people rarely do that. And so now that I do that sometimes throughout the day, periodically, just to kind of check and remind myself to be present and not get caught up in like, what are we doing next, or what
What's
happened
next?
yesterday? And just to be present. And that helps center me, you know, it helps me be in the now, and it calms my anxiety actually to do that, to just to get in touch with yourself. And that sounds so, I don't know, trite, but it's
It
really
sounds
simple.
trite, but I tell you what, it's really hard to do. It's really hard to do. I've always been told to be in the moment for, a minute a day, pick one of your senses. Like I'm sitting here at my desk and I might look out the window and look at the trees. Now, if I really examine those, use my eyesight to really examine those leaves for a minute, I am in this place. I'm not with those leaves in a minute from now. I'm with them right now. So I always like to pick one of my senses if I'm going to
Yes,
try
that's
to be
an
in the moment.
excellent, yeah. And I've done meditations and meditation apps. I do Calm, and that is actually one of the exercises. And they go through all of your senses, because when you're concentrating on your senses, or even just how you're feeling, like I guess the touch or the feeling of it, it takes your mind off of whatever else you're worried about, and it gives your mind a rest when you use your senses to tune into whatever's going on around you. And it's such a simple, easy thing. I love that. I love that example you gave of just picking one, even, and
Just
just
pick one.
and tune into that and give your brain a rest.
So in your book, you talk about you hit a stop sign. Can you explain what a stop sign is and what yours was and what others may see as a stop sign?
Sure. So a stop sign, I say, is anytime you come to a screeching halt in your life, because we're all chugging along in life, do, 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 and then something big happens. Like maybe, and it could be good things too. Mine in the book are more bad, but it's just like a transition. So like you're getting married, you're getting divorced, someone dies, someone graduates, a new baby's arriving.
You get
You get COVID,
COVID.
you lose your job, you get a new job. It's these times in your life where you come to a halt and you have to like turn a page. And mine was more of the negative sort. I would call it a breakdown after some bad news from work. And it got to the point where I kind of described earlier, where I was kind of spiraling down already. And then just this one thing kind of pushed me over the edge. And I was just like, okay, I can't take this anymore. I want to peace out of this world. Like I literally wanted to run away. And I had, suicidal thoughts, which is even hard for me to say now. There's a lot of shame in that. And I just felt like I couldn't go on anymore. And that is like the worst feeling in the world, right? Because I am a very positive person, I think, in general, usually. So to have that tsunami of emotion come over me it was devastating, And in the book, I said I was even like Googling it at one point, like, how do I do this? And I came
That's
across
scary.
Yes. And I came across Sarah Silverman, who's a comedian, right? And she has her own Instagram feed. And something popped up on Instagram where she's just like, are you thinking about killing yourself today? And I was like looking around my room, like,
Is she in here?
is she here? Does she know what's going on? And she says, don't do it. Just wait. You're a procrastinator. Wait one more day. And I thought, okay, I can wait one more day. And I kind of just passed out and fell asleep. Because there's stuff that happened before that, but I was just, and then the moment passed, but then I woke up and I thought, oh my gosh, what was I going to do? I was horrified and ashamed, and I thought, I need to get help. I'm not in my right mind. And I learned, that emotions are energy in motion, and it is a feeling that kind of just comes over you like that, but it goes away. That's the good news. So if people can just wait long enough for it to go away and for that horrible emotion to pass, because it does. It might come back, like a hurricane, comes back around. But I knew before it came back around, I needed to get help, because I was not right. And so I did. I got help from my family and from some health professionals. And so, not everyone's stop sign is that drastic, but I would say that people maybe feel a little bit off kilter or not like their normal self. Like they're gonna go through a change, and it's uncomfortable. Maybe not to the extent that my stop sign was. But if you burn out, you can come to that kind of low, dark place where you're like, I was done. I didn't want to feel that way anymore. And so I also took a pause with work, where I took 3 months off through that FMLA, Family Medical Leave Act, which I don't think a lot of people know about, but you can take that for anxiety, depression. So I took that, and I took that time to kind of take a time out from life and do that reflection that you talked about before, and get back in touch with why did this happen, and how was I feeling, and how do I kind of make sure it doesn't happen again. And so the book kind of walks you through what I did to kind of come out on the other side of that stop sign. And, you know, people can do some of it, they can do all of it, but it's just, you know, here's my outline on how to get past a stop sign and be centered and be, you know, people say their authentic self, but just kind of get back to you. And the truth of the matter is you're always doing it. You know, it's not like, oh, I read this book or I did this one thing and now I'm better. It's an ongoing journey.
Right.
And yeah, so you constantly are moving past the stop sign. And the thing is, there's going to be other stop signs. And so I just hope that when I come across more stop signs, and I know there will be, and there have been since I've written the book, since I wrote the book, but I am more resilient.
That's good. Well, and you know, you mentioned probably the most important part of when you get to a stop sign, and it's the one that is the hardest, I think, for women especially, and that's to ask for help, to look for the helpers. Can you speak to that a little bit?
Yeah, so Mr. Rogers, I think everyone's kind of heard this quote, or a lot of people have, you know, oh, she has it behind. Oh, I love that. You know, he said that when there's, you know, hard times, he was saying this to children, you know, look for the helpers, you know, in times of disasters, or scary times. And I think he was talking more about the first responders. And I think the same can be true for us, you know, women, when you have a hard time, ask for help. There is no crime or shame in it at all. And I don't know where the shame or crime came from, but it is a one-way ticket to nowhere if you don't ask for help, because you're not doing anybody any favors, especially yourself. It's cruel to yourself. And so the helpers for me, so I encourage people to build their own team, kind of like, I don't know, like your own baseball team, or, you know, you think of celebrities and they have their team, you know, their stylist and whatever. So like, who is on your team? And so I built my team purposefully in my head, like I need a team. And so it was my friends, and a lot of people have close friends. Some have more than others. And if you don't, I think that's okay too, because there's other people in your life that you can go to. You can be, a lot of people have a therapist. A hairdresser, like my hairdresser and I, when we go and sit, I sit in the chair for 3 hours. We talk about everything. I had an executive coach, you know, or there's a ton of different coaches in the world. You know, just look online. I think you might be a certified coach as well.
A personal trainer, a
Oh,
little bit
personal
different.
trainer. Okay, personal trainer. Okay.
But I could talk about stuff all day long
Well,
too,
even
just
just
like a
like personal
hairdresser.
trainers, you know, so it's like someone who helps. So it's not just like the mental stuff, but also helps you feel your best. And I think wellness is a huge part of that. So personal trainers, nutritionists, you know, somebody at the gym, you know, also the spiritual part. If there's, you know, if you're a Christian, like a pastor, preacher, or someone in your small group or your synagogue, if you're now, or whatever religion you are, like, you know, someone of faith to help you along, yoga, you know, your yoga instructor. So I think big about who is in that circle. Who are those people that build into you, and help you be a healthier person, and lean into them as you're trying to rebuild, coming out of something hard or going through a transition. Another thing I did, is I took up watercolor painting just for fun, and I had a watercolor teacher, and that was so great because it, when I was constant, and I'm not a painter or an artist, but it took my mind off of all the things going on and helped me to, I guess, express myself through another medium, you know, where I could be fully present. So, you know, if you have a hobby or if you're an athlete of some sort, you can, you know, get into your sport or your hobby. And that, I think, a lot of times takes your mind off of whatever else is going on and gives yourself time to just rest, you know, and because we're not meant to go 24/7, you know.
No matter what we're being told by
Yes, it's
social
just that we're
media
not
or,
made that way. We're
yeah.
humans who are creative. You know, it kills me like in schools how like art is seen as extra or physical activity is seen as extra. And that, because to me, it's just an essential part of who we are as humans. And if we can't express ourselves, I mean, no wonder why our mental health numbers are through the roof and we have a ton of people on antidepressants is because I think we need to leave more room to be human
Right.
and be with each other, but then also express ourselves and have some time to reflect and just be.
So, what do you think has been the most memorable and non-skippable part of this journey that you have been on?
That's a thought-provoking question. The non-skippable part. I mean, I would say maybe the mind-body connection, because you really, I just think as Americans, as women who people please and all of that, we push ourselves aside, our person. We push our person to the side to for others' benefit, which that is, you know, like maybe it's martyr syndrome or something, but and that is, you know, I think held in high regard, but it again, it doesn't do anyone any favors if at the end of the day you have nothing left to give and you have no energy and you're not a happy person. And you know, maybe you're snapping at your children or your husband or the people you work with or the people around you. I think you have to, as a human, have time to be human. You know, you're not superhuman. And so for me, getting in touch with that and really understanding what that meant and how to do that, I think then that's how you can be centered and resilient. Because if you're too far to your mind, then you could fall apart. And the other way too, like if you're too in your body, you're not thinking of things and you're
Right.
too into the pleasures of the flesh or whatever, that's not good either. You know, you got to be somewhere in the middle. And I think we err, a lot of people err too much on the side of the mind and just totally ignore the body.
Yeah.
So I would say that's it, mind body.
Mind body. So what are your big plans for the book? What's happening now with your book?
Well, it is just come out, as you know, and thank you for reading and being a beta reader. I really appreciate it. I would love to host book clubs. You know, if someone wants to get a group of people together and, you know, I could come in and talk to the book club because there are questions at the end of each chapter. I would love for the book to be a catalyst to more conversations with women like myself or men too, and how to support women in this phase of their life much better than we do as a society, whether it be just your spouse or your significant other, or your friends, so people have more honest conversations about how they're really doing, to maybe more of a macro level where our governments, local, state, national, support women more with affordable childcare solutions, and also like just mental health in the workplace, just, you know, giving people time to breathe, you know, and be and not have these crazy, you know, like deadlines and, you know, outrageous expectations. You know,
All this weird new pandemic work from home, no work-life balance at all.
yeah, like you definitely need rest. I mean, I remember, so I went through a master's program at Northwestern for marketing and we went to Europe for like 2 weeks and met with a lot of companies there as part of the program. And as people probably know, people in Europe have these amazing vacations, right? And they might take the whole month of August off or, you know, almost unlimited vacation. And people here, And in my class, kind of made fun of it, like, oh yeah, you can't count on them to do any work or whatever. But really, I think we have it backwards, work to live or live to work, and I think we need to do more working to live. And I feel like the millennials maybe get it better. They get that understand of like pause and spend more time with your family and your friends and that kind of thing. But there's more to life than work and financial success. It's like it's, and I talk about this in my book too, is like we need to redefine what is success. And so I would hope that from my book, I can participate or be part of that conversation in helping people redefine success and also maybe help women have more support in the workplace. So that's what I
That's great.
hope.
Well, if somebody wanted to do that sort of book club where they discuss, how can they find you?
So I have a website. It's authortracybaldwin.com, and they can drop me a line through there. That's probably the easiest way. I also have an Instagram, which is at Tracy or at author Tracy Baldwin, TRACY, and then
Okay, I'll
Baldwin
put
like the
like the
actor,
brothers.
the brothers. As everyone always says that. Are you related? No, I'm not.
I'll put all that in the show notes too,
Okay.
so if anybody wants to find you, that's great. And so where can people find the book?
They can find my book on Amazon at Barnes and Noble. And if you want it in your local bookstore, let me know and I can call your bookstore because I'm
Oh.
all about supporting your local.
That's cool. That's
Or if
cool.
you want, if you have a big book club, I could also ship you, bigger quantities. If you come directly to me, I can do that as well.
Awesome. So, last question for you. What is your absolute best piece of advice for women in this stage of life, who know they need to start paying attention and assessing? And are looking for stop signs and are kind of, they're paused. They're just kind of stuck right here.
I would say find joy in the journey. Life has a ton of ups and downs, right? And I feel like people are always trying to struggle to get to some point. If I have this car, if I have this house, if I have these things, if I
If
get my
only,
college
if
degree,
only. Yeah.
if only, or I should do this, the shoulds,
Yeah, the shoulds.
shoulding
Yeah.
yourself to death. Don't put that off, don't put your happiness off until that point. Try to live in the moment and find joy in the moment. Even in the junk that happens, it's really difficult. And I think then you will be more centered if you can be content with the present. And it's not necessarily happiness, but just content, because I think that is the goal. And we talked a little bit earlier how to even do that. Take a second to look at, the trees, or take a breath, or whatever it is, pause before you move on to the next moment. I was just watching Dance Moms, which is bad TV. And there was this one really poignant moment where the girls, these young girls, are trying out to be in the Joffrey Ballet. And one of the best dancers didn't make it. And she was devastated. And the woman judge said to her, "You're a beautiful dancer, but you need to take time and pause in between your moments and just let your body feel and be." And so that has kind of stuck with me, that we're always going, going, going. And even though this dancer was the best dancer and just, she would always win all these competitions, that wasn't, that was maybe success to a certain, the dance mom group, but to the Joffrey Ballet, they're like, "No, that's not it. You need to pause in between your movements and show kind of, I guess, your joy a little bit in the journey of that dance." And so that's what I would say. Pause, and enjoy the joy, have joy, experience joy in that journey, in your dance, in your life.
Pause and enjoy the dance. I like
Yeah.
that.
Yeah. Pause and enjoy the dance because you only get one, right?
That's
And
right.
it is rough. It can be very rough, but if you can find
But it
that
can be
moment,
beautiful too.
yeah, that's what I would say.
Yeah. Well, this has been awesome. Thanks so much for being on and talking about your book, and congratulations. I mean,
Thank
writing a
you.
book is a big deal, especially about something so personal. I applaud you for that
Thank you.
because you're going to be helping a lot of people who can't say those things out loud themselves, but they will be able to see themselves and the path back through what you've been through.
I hope I can normalize it and take away some of that shame people feel. There's no shame, really. And I think the more you share with others, the easier it is to have less shame.
Yeah, I
Let it
agree.
out.
Let it out.
Let it go.
Thanks again.
Thank you, Leslie, so much.
There aren't enough words to thank Tracy for being on today and for sharing her very real and authentic story, and for sharing her optimism and understanding of what I think so many of us experience, especially in this time in our life. Her book, Life Disrupted: Finding Your Way Forward When the World Is Upside Down, is it's a way of letting us all know that we aren't alone in this and that our struggles are seen. I hope that you get the opportunity to read the book and consider it for a book club that you lead or that you are in. There are great thought-provoking questions at the end of each chapter. I think reading this book in a book club setting with other women also allows some great opportunities for community building. There are going to be links in the show notes to find the book at Amazon and for contacting Tracy if you would like for her to speak to your book club if you are reading through this book. I mean, I think that that would be a great way to go into 2023, having been through this book with other women and with Tracy making an appearance. So let's just review for a second with a handful of some of the many takeaways from today. Number one, be careful of letting your mind rule your body. Your body will end up shutting down whether you want it to or not. It will tell you to stop. Number two, we tend to live by the myth of the Lone Ranger, but it is a lie. People need people. No man or woman is an island, and we all need each other. Number three, a stop sign is anytime you come to a screeching halt in your life, a transition, good or bad, where you have to turn a page. Number four, when you're having a hard time, ask for help. There is no crime or shame in it. It is a one ticket to nowhere if you don't ask for it. Number five, build your own helpers team. Figure out who is in your circle and who builds into you, and then lean into them as you are coming out of something hard or are dealing with some sort of transition. As always, I am grateful for you and that you are here all the way to the end. If you've enjoyed this podcast or this episode, make sure to share it with a friend or scroll on down to the bottom of this page. If you're listening on your phone, scroll on down and give it a 5-star rating. And maybe take 30 seconds to scribble out some sort of review. All of these rankings and reviews are put together to make sure that more midlife women find this episode as well as other things that we deal with. They're able to find the podcast easily. And if you are at Amazon checking out Tracy's book, make sure you also throw my You Deserve It notebook, goal tracker, planner, and journal in the cart. This notebook is a great place to really start taking stock of how you feel today, where you want to go tomorrow, and it helps you start on all of it, because sometimes we just don't know where to start and we need a place. It's a great place to start. Tracy herself has graciously recommended it on Amazon, and I am eternally grateful to her for doing that. So till next time, friends, make sure to take care of each other and remember to show as much compassion to others as you yourself need today. You have no idea what their story is and that the stop signs that they are navigating around. When you're able to be compassionate, you immediately make the world a better place. And always, that is the goal. Till next time, love to all. Bye.